Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. The show is also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. I am very, very happy, as always, to be able to bring you another powerful, powerful interview with a very special and powerful guest who is just happens to be a regular on our show, and it's truly a blessing when you're able to talk to people about stuff that's important. You know, I mean, you ever had conversations with people, been in a conversation and, you know, started scratching your head and wondering what you were even doing in the conversation because the participants in the topic, I mean, they weren't talking about nothing. And so it's just like, why am I even here? You know? So, I mean, it's truly a blessing when you have an opportunity to talk to people who are talking about something that's very, very important. And when it comes to important topics, I can't think of one that's more important than your health. I mean, there are millions of sick people out here. I mean, and if you look across the world, that, you know, just countless and countless people who are just living below what they should be living in terms of the status, the state of their health. And we can do something about that, you know. We don't have to just accept our condition. If you happen to find yourself in a position where you're just not feeling well, the doctor has diagnosed you with something, well, you've come to the right place. Because here on Health, Wealth, and Divine, we talk about preventive medicine. We talk about if you happen to have gotten something, you weren't able to prevent it. We talk about how you can reverse it. And my special guest today, if you're tuning in for the first time, is somebody that you're not going to forget. I guarantee you. When I first came in contact with this person, I was so impressed. I had to ask her if she would be a regular on the show because I wanted to keep bringing her back and back and back and just share some more and more and more and more and more. And I guarantee you, by the time the show's over, you're not going to want the conversation to end. As many shows, I don't either. But, you know, in fairness, you know, you can't hold people forever. But we do have her as a regular on the show. And who am I talking about today? Well, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Dr. Ruby Lathan, in case you don't know by now, is a holistic health and wellness expert and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. She holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, and she began teaching others about the benefits and power of plant-based nutrition as well. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through an emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. And Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chef. As you can see, she does a lot. And every time I read her bio, I'm like, I get more impressed. I'm like, wow, she does a lot and has done a lot. Well, I guarantee you, you're in for a treat today. When you hear how she got started in the on the holistic health path, it's going to blow your mind, and it's really you'll understand even further why you're listening to her. Sometimes you listen to people, and you're like, well, how do I know that by listening to them, if they really know what they're talking about? Well, when you hear her testimony, you'll know that she knows what she's talking about. She's not talking from hearsay. Dr. Lathan, again, it's my pleasure to have you back. I'm always honored and pleased to have an opportunity to speak with you again. I look forward to another powerful show. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, Dr. Lathan, we've done a lot of shows, We've done shows on just about every chronic disease that I can think of. I mean, I have to scratch my head and think about what we haven't talked about at times. And I encourage everybody to scroll down the archives and listen to those shows with Dr. Latham, because you'll definitely be motivated to take your health to a whole nother level. And again, it's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with somebody that knows what they're talking about. When you talk, you know, people can feel your passion, because that passion is born from a place that, I mean, started, you know, when you got a diagnosis, I guess, and it wasn't a good one, and it just changed your whole life. It changed your whole, I guess, career path and pursuits. Could you talk about what got you started for those who may not have heard your powerful testimony before?
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that turns out, I think, to be a blessing in disguise. And it was, for me, it was thyroid cancer, and that was back in 2007 when I was diagnosed with that. And I decided to, you know, instead of doing surgery, I decided to research and look into natural treatment for curing cancer. So I started my research pretty much from day one to try to figure out what I could do to heal my body naturally. And I saw reoccurring that, you know, plant-based diets were one way to do that, and that was because of the enormous amount of nutrients you get from a plant-based diet and the amount of toxins you're reducing by just not consuming animal-based products. So so I switched to that and was able to reverse the cancer by just changing my diet and lifestyle. And so that really pushed me in a different direction and wanting to help other people learn about, you know, the healing powers of food and lifestyle, and that it's something, you know, we don't have to be plagued with all of these diseases, because there's preventative methods that we can do as well as curative things that we can do, all starting with our plate. So that was really what got me into this line of work and switching from engineering to holistic nutrition.
You know what's interesting to me, Doctor, is, like, again, when I hear your testimony and people like you, like Brother Coy Dunstan, who cured his mother, who's a regular on the show as well, who cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver and the colon, other people who may have healed themselves or others of cancer, you would expect that people would be breaking your doors down, you know what I mean, trying to find out how you did it. And that might be true, they might come initially, but when they find out that what's required, that they might have to let go of something, that there might have to be a lifestyle change. What has been your personal, I guess, for lack of a better word, story, I guess, when it comes to after having cured yourself? I'm sure you wanted to share this information. I mean, even in your bio, it talks about you share this information with other people and helping them to make the lifestyle choices that are necessary and required if they're going to heal. How has the receptivity been when sharing with people? I mean, because you have a testimony, unlike a lot of people, you cured yourself of thyroid cancer. I mean, you went to the doctors, they told you you had it, you made some changes, you know, and went back, and you actually cured yourself of thyroid cancer. To me, I would listen to somebody like that, you know. That's why I bring you on the show and let you share whatever we can think of to share to help other people. But when sharing with people, did you get the response that you thought you would get, or did you go into it without expectations that, okay, I'm not going to necessarily heal the world, but I'm just going to share it with whomever I can?
Well, you know, I didn't really go into it with a lot of expectation. I know there are a lot of people who are skeptical about natural remedies in general, so I didn't have overwhelmingly high expectation that everyone was going to come beating my door down, but I did expect that some people who are in tune with this way of thinking or open to it at least would. And so I have gotten a good response, you know, from people all the time wanting information to, you know, about healing naturally. And just like any other treatment, from traditional treatments to natural treatments, everybody responds differently. So what works for one, you might need to tweak it for someone else, you know. So it's really, it depends on a lot of things, your current health and your age and, you know, your mindset and your willingness to make the changes. But generally, anyone who makes significant dietary changes, especially when we're talking about a whole food plant-based diet and takes, you know, the right types of supplements and changes diet and lifestyle, they're going to get good results, whether they're doing completely natural or a combination thereof. It's a beneficial thing. So I have gotten a lot of people who have come for help and you know, maybe not as many as you would expect, but you know, there are people out there who are willing to try it. You know, cancer is a scary thing, so people generally listen to their doctors who are pretty skeptical about natural methods because of their lack of knowledge or they're protecting their own positions. So you have a lot of resistance to it. So I can understand some of the reservation, but I also understand that, you know, you really need to make decisions for yourself and decide, you know, what makes sense and look at all the evidence and the data on both sides and the failure rate of traditional treatments as well as, you know, natural treatments, and then you can make a more informed decision for yourself when you realize that, you know, these treatments that they're proposing, traditional treatments, have a very high failure rate and often result in death. You know, it's not what they tell you all the time when they start, you know, these very harsh treatments. And so, you know, I tell people it's you have to be committed to it and ready and, you know, let go of the fear and let your and understand that the body can heal itself. And once you believe that, then you're ready to start a natural treatment or a combination of treatments. So I think that message is getting out there.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. If during the course of the show you have a question or comment, just one and one, and you can do just that. Well, today, as advertised, we're going to be talking about the amazing benefits oil pulling. Again, that's the amazing benefits of oil pulling. I just heard somebody say, what in the world? What is oil pulling? You know, we talk about a lot of things, you know, and one of the things that we haven't talked about yet, not just with Dr. Lathan on this show, but any of my guests, we haven't talked about oral dental health. Okay, we do a lot of work with our mouth. I mean, we chew, we eat, we talk. I mean, we, you know, we drink. I mean, we goes on with our mouth. So you would think that a discussion on the health, you know, something that would be beneficial. Well, it's that with that in mind. Be talking about the amazing benefits of oil pulling. So again, don't be shy. If during the course of the discussion you have a question, just press one and then you can ask it. Okay, doctor, here we go. For those who might not know what oil pulling is and they're hearing this for the first time, again, that is oil, O-I-L, pulling, P-U-L-L-I-N-G. What is oil pulling, Dr. Lathan?
Sure. It is, it's a quite old tradition started in India, at least that's where the roots kind of end up, as part of the Ayurvedic practice of natural medicine. And so it's really simple. It really is just using oil to detoxify the body, particularly through the mouth. So it is taking usually coconut oil. It started out with sesame oil. I think in India and other places they might use more commonly sesame oil, but most people here use coconut oil because coconut oil has a lot of benefits over sesame oil. Sesame oil can be high in omega-6, which we already get too much of, so I always recommend coconut oil. But you take about a teaspoon to a tablespoon of oil and swish it in your mouth, and for about 15 to 20 minutes. And you can do it daily or, you know, three or four times a week, and then you spit the oil out in a garbage can, and that oil will contain a lot of toxins that's drawn from the mouth to gums, the tongue, and everything. And so that is the process of oil pulling.
Interesting. Above then, because you're talking about pulling toxins out of the body and through the mouth that I guess accumulate in the mouth. Now, you know, we've been told that if you really want to, you know, above and get some Listerine or, you know, maybe gargle with peroxide or something, and that'll do the job. Well, we know that kills germs. Now, what would be, there's a difference here that we're talking. We're not just talking about killing germs. We're actually killing germs that cause bad breath, but detoxifying the body. Would you make a distinction there? I mean, between those two, because you're talking about detoxifying the body through the use of oil pulling.
Yeah, so it does more than, I mean, it does have the benefit of making your breath smell better. So it does do what Listerine does, but more naturally and better and without mm-hmm. the toxins that are going to come in that type of a commercialized product. So yes, but it goes a little bit deeper than that. So through the process of swishing the oil in your mouth, you produce a lot of extra saliva in your mouth, and that contains a lot of the bacteria and toxins that have been holding in your body. So your mouth begins to release those toxins into the oil. And the process of swishing it around for that length of time allows that bacteria to be absorbed into the oil, which is why you don't want to swallow the oil or anything like that, because you just would be reabsorbing the toxins. So it pulls definitely from the bacteria from the mouth. You know, places where we sometimes don't brush or even floss, because, you know, there's more to our mouth than just the teeth and gums. There's quite a bit more space there too, and so it gets all of that. So it pulls quite a bit, and so what happens is that most of we hold quite a bit of bacteria in our mouth, and when you do something like oil pulling, it reduces that toxin load dramatically. So the body is then able to kind of refocus that energy on other areas of the body. So you're not pulling all toxins from your entire body through your mouth, but you are pulling quite a bit. But you're basically sanitizing your mouth, which is a big deal. And that frees up the body to then do a lot of the healing work. But it also, you know, does pull some of the toxins from other areas of the body and is allowing you to discard that through the mouth. So, but primarily, by detoxifying our mouth, we are getting rid of a large majority of the bacteria that we're harboring.
So this goes beyond just a deeper, it goes much deeper than just dental thing. It's not just a dental
right.
thing.
Right, yeah, it definitely has several dental benefits, but it has definitely the benefits of boosting the immune system and reducing inflammation in the body also, which are huge steps, are huge things that our body needs to do. You know, reducing inflammation is so important because most disease begins with, you know, inflammation in the body. So if we can keep that to a minimum or eliminate it, then we're going to eliminate quite a bit of disease just with that alone. So it has definitely that benefit of boosting the immune system, which obviously heals quite a few things in our body, and it also reduces that inflammation. And then there are several oral health benefits that come along with that, from you know, stopping tooth decay, reversing cavities, whitening the teeth, which is something people spend a lot of money to do. Definitely, obviously, if we're pulling bacteria from the mouth, we're going to be getting rid of bad breath. If the cause is that bacteria, a lot of times it could be, you know, decaying teeth that we need to deal with. But the oil pulling also deals with that. It stops tooth decay and cavities. It also improves gum health. So there are a lot of things that, you know, side benefits that come from that oral health is, you know, linked to a lot of things. So when you improve your oral health, you're going to be improving your overall health, because we tend to separate parts of the body as if they're separate, and they're really not. So if you have bad oral health, you have bad health in general, because there are so many things that come along with that. So from it, you know, poor oral health, for example, is a big indicator in heart disease, because of the bacteria that is going and flowing into our system. And as I mentioned with the inflammation, if we have, you know, poor gum health and gingivitis and all these type of things, that bacteria is being absorbed into the body every day, all day, and causing all types of inflammation in the body. So one is not absent of the other. So we really have to rethink how we think about different parts of the body. Just because our insurance breaks it up into dental health and eye health and podiatry and all these silly things, you know, it's all one system, and they're all extremely interconnected. So oral health is overall health. And there are a lot of, you know, things we can do to, once we improve that, we improve everything. From another benefit is that it improves acne and other skin conditions when we do oil pulling. So there are so many things that come about as a result of that, that it's such a simple thing that you can do. It's something you'd want to incorporate pretty regularly.
And you mentioned that you can do it daily. Would you suggest that a person brush first and then oil pull, or oil pull first and then brush?
You'd want to oil pull first and then brush. And it's best done on an empty stomach. It's best done first thing in the morning, before you eat anything, before you brush your teeth. So the process would be, you know, first thing in the morning, that teaspoon or tablespoon, and you can start with a tablespoon until you get used to it, and, you know, go up to a teaspoon until you get used to it, and go up to a tablespoon. But yeah, it's best to do then, when you're going to have probably the most amount of bacteria in your mouth when you wake up. And so you do the swishing. A lot of people do it in the shower. I tend to do that because the time passes pretty quickly, 15 minutes, you know, while you're getting dressed and doing something. You can do that. And so, as I mentioned, you know, you just swish it around, and you don't have to make, you know, big movements, because if you keep doing, you know, something pretty dramatic, after a few minutes, your mouth is going to get tired. So it's a gentle swish around, because you're doing this for 15 minutes, but just circulating the oil around your entire mouth, under the tongue, everywhere. And then you want to spit it out, and that's in the garbage, because if you put it in the sink, you're going to clog your sink after a little while, because coconut oil or any oil is going to build up there. So if some people can't do it for 15 or 20 minutes initially, do it for as long as you can. And if you just have a urge to spit, you go ahead and do it, and then you can continue on and with another teaspoon if you want, or you just stop there until you build up your tolerance to do it longer, because it's just a different process your body's not really used to. So the first few times you might only be able to do 5 or 10 minutes, and that's fine. The longer you do it, the more you'll be able to, you know, do it more comfortably. And again, it's not a big, you know, jaw movement, because you will tire your jaw out after a while. So 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 it's pretty simple to do. Yeah, first thing in the morning, and then once you're done, you want to rinse your mouth out with warm water. Again, you don't want to swallow anything, so you want to go ahead and get the rest of the oil kind of out of your mouth with warm water, and then you brush your teeth as you normally would and go on with any other process that you do. So it is not a replacement for brushing your teeth or flossing your teeth or tongue scraping or any of those things, which are all good things to do. It is just in addition to that, it really helps improve the body chemistry, the overall, just the bacterial load is just greatly reduced, which improves overall health. And I mentioned using the coconut oil because it has other health benefits. It's antiviral. So while it's, already collecting this bacteria, it also has antiviral properties in it. It also has something called lauric acid in it, which helps strengthen the immune system as well. So there are, multiple benefits to using the coconut oil, and it's not an omega-6 oil like sesame oil. And, of course, you want organic cold-pressed coconut oil when you're doing it. So it's very simple process, but it has huge results. A lot of people have mentioned, once they do that, they mentioned they experience better health. A lot of people have things like bleeding gums or just inflamed gums. This helps heal that as well. So as a cavity prevention tool, I think it's really very beneficial because a lot of people think you need fluoride and other things to, keep your good dental health, and you really don't. You really want natural things that are going to naturally reduce inflammation and naturally whiten teeth and prevent tooth decay and even help cure tooth decay, which is quite incredible. And so it's something that's been done for centuries, if not longer, dating back, I believe, to 3000 B.C., so from it's an old process that has proven to be quite effective.
It's amazing when you think back to that time, like 3000 BC, and think about information that people had available to them at that time, and that at some point, again, I'm always brought back to this divine intelligence, that speaks to man, that would cause man to even think about, okay, let me try this. Let me try putting some coconut oil in my mouth and swishing it around. And, how many experiments did they have to do before they found out that, oh, coconut oil really works. Coconut oil, works. And what was the impetus to even, search for something? I mean, how many, with all of the different substances, talking about foods like coconut oil, the different oils, sesame oil, olive oil, I mean, to settle on a particular oil to do this particular thing, it just keeps bringing me back to this divine intelligence that speaks to us, that tells us what to do. Even when you think of indigenous people and finding certain plants that heal, I can't imagine that they would actually go through thousands of plants to find out what healed a particular thing. They would have to have been guided to that. So it's just, even this conversation is just reminding me just what you just said about 3000 BC and dating back that far that we know of. It's amazing to me. But again, back to it, there's no gargling, right? Don't think, everybody, that just because you put it, that it's okay to put it in your mouth. Again, you don't swallow it. Gargling would not be a good idea, correct, Doc? Or would it? As long as you didn't swallow it. Dr. Layton, you still with us?
I'm sorry, I was muted. Yes, I was saying, yes, you don't need to gargle. You wouldn't gargle it because that's, like, going to get too far back in the throat, you know. If you're going to gargle something, that's a different show. We could talk about, you know, gargling with apple cider vinegar or salt water or something like that for, you know, depending on what your issue is. But, no, we're not gargling with the oil. We're just swishing it around the mouth.
In people who are on a holistic path already, you might have went to the doctor and you got a great bill of health. They looked in your mouth, they said everything's fine. They looked in your eyes, everything's fine. I mean, you got a clean bill of health. You're good to go. I mean, you're already a vegetarian, you're already a vegan, you're already taking herbs, you're taking your vitamin C, you're doing all of that. Well, for you all, who where it might be difficult to see benefits because your overall health is already good, whereas somebody who might be health, it might be easy for them to see benefits immediately because their health is bad. Could you talk for a moment, Doc, just about health, its own reward? Because sometimes, again, if you're already on a holistic health path and you're in relatively good health, you might not see the immediate benefits that somebody who, let's say, had bad gums would see, or had bleeding gums would see. They would see that, you know, I would assume immediately, whereas somebody who, you know, had great teeth, they would have to be looking for other signs that this was beneficial to them.
Right. It's definitely good for anyone, especially if they already have a great, you know, bill of health. You know, you might not notice as many benefits right away, but it's still going to just increase overall health and still boost your immune system. So it's something that is so easy to do with so many benefits. You know, you might have a great bill of health now. Basically, what you're doing with this is just ensuring that it stays that way because things crop up and change as, you know, we get older and things like that. So this is just one more tool to help us stay on that path and stay feeling good and looking good and, you know, all of those things. You know, one of the reasons it's used in, you know, Ayurvedic medicine is because the tongue, if you've ever seen a graph of the tongue, that each part of the tongue represents different areas of the body. And so that a lot of people, especially natural doctors, can tell a lot by just looking at your tongue. This helps detoxify the tongue, which in essence detoxifies really the whole body. So there's a lot mm-hmm. going on there. You know, it's kind of like reflexology on the foot. You know, every part of the body is kind of represented on the foot. It's the same with the tongue. So when you're doing this, it kind of adds that extra layer of benefit to the entire body because of those connections there. So that's one of the ideas, that it's a systemic kind of a cleansing. So it's going to be beneficial for anyone, even someone who's on top of everything, everyone who's doing, you know, because I recommend for a lot of people to do in addition to, you know, brushing, you can do use a water pick in addition to your flossing. That really helps to get the bacteria from around the gums of the teeth and things like that. Water picks just are almost sometimes can be used in combination with flossing or sometimes in place if done correctly. But you generally still need to floss with the string. But the using a water pick helps really get bacteria away, so that when you go to your dentist, they're not scraping all this stuff off because it never got there because of the water pick. And the more you can do that, the better it is, because that plaque that builds up that we go and get every 3 or 6 months, or some people a year, to get scraped off, that is sticky and bacteria sticks to that. So your mouth is just holding on to bacteria, and your toothbrush doesn't get rid of that kind of tartar and plaque, you know, after it builds up over time, which is why it's so important to go to the dentist. But when you're doing things like oil pulling, it stops that buildup from occurring, and it's taking away that bacteria so you don't have this surface of stickiness where bacteria is just sitting in your mouth all day or all night. So it's really, really, really beneficial.
So would, again, first thing in the morning be the best, the optimal time?
Yeah, no, you can do it any time. So if you miss it in the morning, you don't have to say, oh, I didn't get to do my oil pulling. You can really do it any time. But, you know, when we're out kind of like on an empty stomach, everything just flows better, faster, quicker. You know, more toxins, it's easier to come out because your body's not digesting. You know, you're giving your body one thing to do, and it does that. So it's just it's just a little more effective if you're doing it, you know, in the morning. But you can do it any time and still reap the benefits.
So in terms of the body, at night when we're asleep and the body's, well, resting, quote, end quote, is that when the and all of the things are released? Because the reason I asked about the morning was because, you know, people wake up with morning breath. I mean, of course, nobody that's listening to this show, but, you know, somebody you might know is somebody is known to say. When it comes to morning breath, is that as a result of body actually detoxing at night? And, you know, as a result of that detoxing, everything's forming around in the mouth and, you know, of course, in other places, but definitely in the mouth, it can be seen in the mouth or felt in the mouth or smelled in the mouth. Is that what's going on? The body has detoxed at night, and so what people are smelling when they're smelling the morning breath, is that the result of the detoxification that took place that night while they were asleep?
I'm not 100% sure on that, but I don't think so. Just from what I've read is that generally when we're up during the day, we're drinking water, we're drinking other things that kind of washes that bacteria out. And so when we're sleeping, it's just kind of sitting there and building up. And that's why it smells, because it's not, nothing circulating. So also it's like when you keep sleep with your mouth closed, you tend to have less morning breath than if you're someone who sleeps with their mouth open. I don't know, I guess less bacteria is entering or happening that way. So I really wouldn't consider it necessarily a detoxification. I know our body does detox and do a lot of repair at night, but from my understanding, it's been more of a just a kind of a static buildup of bacteria for a long period of time. You'll notice that if you've been sitting for hours without drinking anything, you might notice a little more tartness on the breath than if you had been talking or drinking or something like that. So it's really more, it just kind of builds up without that circulation of things happening throughout the day. And
now,
in the morning you just have that greater buildup, whereas throughout the day you're, like I said, you're usually consuming something that is circulating things through the mouth and you know, especially if you're drinking water, helping rinse those things out of the mouth and things like that. So it's just more of a concentration of it in the morning.
Well, Doc, if you don't mind, if you could talk for a moment about researcher bias, if you would, because, you know, you had mentioned before that, you know, when we go to the doctor, of course, the doctor is not going to tell you, for example, if you've got some sort of condition that we know might be have been brought about by a bad diet, you know, eating meat, dairy, sugar, all of those things. The doctor's not going to tell you to cut those things out, not the allopathic doctor. But, you know, I was looking at something today, and it was talking about how this guy was talking about how he had went to a website, and I think it was it might have been the American Dental Association or something. I don't know if that's the correct name of the organization, but they were talking against oil pulling, or at the very least, if not talking against it, minimizing its effectiveness, basically stating that it doesn't do what, you know, doesn't do all of that. But of course, they would stand to gain, or dentists stand to gain. That's how they make their living. They've gone to school to, you know, pull teeth, do crowns, do root canals, and all this other stuff. So if you come in there and your teeth are pearly white and, you know, you don't have any gingivitis and you have just excellent oral health, then they don't get paid. So if you could just talk about research and bias, because even when it comes to certain studies, you have to look at the motivation behind why the person or the organization came up with the conclusion that they came up with. Who funded that particular study? What's the motivation behind that study? Was it to prove or to disprove a particular position? Could you talk about that and why it's important for people to know that information? Because, again, if we're going on information and we look to these organizations to validate or invalidate what it is that we're trying to do, we have to understand why they wrote what they wrote.
Right. Well, there's a lot of research, I'll say research in quotes, that's being published that's sponsored by the industries that are selling products. So, you know, if you have a, you know, research that's being funded by someone with interest in a certain outcome of the research, then pretty much you can ignore the research, in my opinion, because it's usually tainted and skewed. So if someone is, if the research is being, you know, sponsored by, let's say, a toothpaste manufacturer, and they want the outcome to be that you should use more, you know, toothpaste, basically, you know, if the study was, is toothpaste effective or not, and there are toothpaste manufacturing funding the study, you know what the answer to that is going to be. It's going to be, of course it is. So that type of research is really, a lot of that goes on, and it's really not reliable research. So you do want to look at the source of research, and a lot of times, you know, you'll see things in magazines that are presented as research when if you just look a little more closely, it's actually just a paid ad that is put in the format of what appears to be research, and it's really not. That happens all the time in the medical field of research being sponsored by entities that have interest in the outcome of it. And usually, almost all times, if the research is not in favor, it either doesn't get printed or it gets changed to being in favor. So when it is sponsored by someone who has an interest in the outcome of it. So you get a lot of false information or even disinformation. You know, we hear a lot about, quote, fake news lately, but there is legitimate fake research that is called disinformation that is put out by industries who want to maintain their industry sales and things like that, and their force in the industry. So they will actively pay people to put out literal false research to say, you know, this isn't good. For example, I think the sugar industry, you know, started putting out false articles about the benefits of high fructose corn syrup, and it's like, really? Come on, that's just ridiculous. And then putting out information on the harmfulness of agave nectar because it started taking away some of the shares of you know, sugar industry. So you have information like that that's out there. You find that a lot in the meat industry as well, a lot of disinformation about its benefits or health of it. So that happens a lot. So you do have to be aware that disinformation is out there, and you have to just question it, look at the resources, look at where it's printed, where you found it, you know, the website you read it on, does it look reputable? You know, we have to do a lot more than we normally would have if we had a, you know, reliable information sources, but we don't. So we have to be a little more savvy about what we believe and what we read and, you know, try to verify it in more than one place from reputable sources. And then, you know, a lot of research now is required to put who funded it. And so when that's there, you can then use your own judgment about how believable that information is.
Well, Doc, could we talk about, if there is anything here to talk about, when it comes to side effects? Any side effects to oil pulling? Can you do it too much? And if you do it too much, what would be a sign of overdoing it? Can you overdo it?
Generally not. I mean, I guess some people who might be really, really ill, they might feel some detoxification side effects when they're doing it, so because it's just pulling out quite a bit of toxins at once. So that can happen. You might just feel, you know, a little bad momentarily right after. That's about the only side effect that's really been reported. Some people kind of have a gag effect after a while. You know, they're not able to do that for the whole 15 or 20 minutes. You know, they just have this urge to spit it out right away or soon thereafter. Again, that's just, you'll get over that in time. So those are the really only reported side effects of it, you know, negative side effects per se. So generally not. You know, it's not something you really need to do more than, let's say, twice a day. And, you know, you can do it, you know, four times a week, really, and still get three or four times a week and still get really good results. So you don't have to do it every day. So it's something you could say, I'm going to do, you know, four times a week or during the week or, you know, on the weekend and 2 days during the week or something like that and still get quite a few benefits from it, or the same benefits.
And so this, did you say tablespoon or teaspoon of this?
Tablespoon.
Of coconut? Tablespoon.
Yeah, tablespoon. Mm-hmm.
Heaping? Or, I mean, if you got to be specific. Heaping or just level it off? Or
just a level tablespoon. Mm-hmm.
And I saw somewhere, too, that some people spend using, not necessarily recommend, but say it can be good to use some essential oils like maybe tea tree or lavender or something. Would you, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that can actually really add some additional benefits to it because essential oils are really excellent and a great way to help improve overall health as well. So peppermint is great, tea tree, as you mentioned, lavender, all of those are good. So you could put one or two essential oils in and definitely, you know, get additional benefits from that, you know, the benefits of those oils as well in doing it. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend that also.
Now,
and you need generally about a drop or two of the essential oil. So you could put your coconut oil and then, let's say, a drop or two of the essential oil, and then swish that.
Now, when it comes to the essential, if I'm not mistaken, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, my assumption, I don't know if I've read this anywhere, but I just maybe assumed that it's for external use only. You really want to make sure that if it's not advisable to swallow the coconut oil just by itself, would you say that it's definitely, if you're going to use the essential oil, you want to make sure that you do not swallow it?
Well, you want to make sure you don't swallow it anyway, period, because it almost defeats the purpose of doing it if you swallow it, because you just put a bunch of toxins in it and then you're swallowing it. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But there is some food-grade essential oils that can be consumed, so it wouldn't be a big deal, you know, if they were swallowed. But, you know, they need to be really good food-grade. So generally, you're not going to swallow it, so you still want to have a good, really good organic essential oil that's, you know, that is from one of the really good producers of it, because some essential oils, you know, higher quality than others. So,
mm-hmm.
So yes, since we're spitting it out, that's not as much of an issue. But, you know, at the same time, it is still coming in contact with your, you know, your mouth and skin, and you're still absorbing some of that. So that's why you really want to make a good kind of a food grade type of essential oil. Because people put essential oils in water and drink it and things like that. So it can be consumed, but not all. Not all. It has to be specific for that, for consumption. Most often it's put on the skin and not consumed directly.
Would you recommend a specific type of coconut oil? I mean, is it any coconut oil, just get a jar of coconut oil? I mean, any particular type that people who might be interested in oiling should consider? I mean, grade?
Yeah, so it's going to be, you want cold-pressed and you want organic. So those are going to be the two. You want it to have been unprocessed, so that's what cold press means. It wasn't heated when it was, extracted from the coconut. So you want it cold pressed and organic, and then that means you're getting a pretty pure, coconut oil that hasn't been processed, which would mean you don't get as much benefit from it. So obviously if we're doing detoxing, you want it to be organic because we don't want to add toxic chemicals back into our body when we're trying to detox something. So
now what about olive oil? Somebody might say, well, I don't have any coconut oil right now, but I got some olive oil in the cabinet. Can I use that? will that work?
It should work. I would, make an effort to soon get some coconut oil, but olive oil should work, cold pressed, organic as well. It should be effective. As I mentioned, they were using sesame oil, which appeared to be just as effective, just without the added benefits of the coconut oil. So it's just the common, uses is sesame or coconut, but I don't see why the olive oil wouldn't work.
I just had one last question, and that would be for kids. I mean, and when I say kids, I just thought about it. Maybe not, because you got to make sure that they don't swallow it. But what would be a good age, would you say, would be to introduce this to someone who has children and want to, help them to maintain good oral health and hygiene, and just to help, with their overall lifestyle.
Right. So it can be done for children. You just have to make sure your child is old enough to understand spitting out and not, going to swallow. So probably for really young kids, it's not going to work. But for, slightly older kids who can, do that and spit it out, that's something they can definitely add to their routine as well. So definitely has been, used for kids. So you just want, like I said, make sure they're mature enough to understand the process here. And definitely add that. It's definitely great to inform our kids about, good health early on, and for them to have these, really healthy habits, because it'll probably save you a lot in dental bills with cavities and things like that. So, as long as they're old enough to be able to handle the process, it's absolutely a beneficial part of their routine as well.
Well, everybody, this has been a very, very powerful show. I'm going to give you one last opportunity. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Lathan, I see you on the line there. All you have to do is press 1, and then I can bring you on board. We're talking about oil pulling. This has been some very, very fabulous information for, because even for those of us that are on a holistic health path, we might be vegan, try to be mindful of what we put in our mouth. This is another level, this is like, it's like, okay, you just want to add something to what you're already doing with benefits that are amazing, and it doesn't take a lot to do it. I mean, it just seems like it's a no-brainer that you would add oil pulling to your regimen. And I know that there are people, Doc, after hearing you, that want to know how they can reach you and where you're going to be. I know you've got a couple of workshops coming up. I mean, if there was anything else that you wanted to share about oil pulling, please do. But I definitely want to let people know where you're going to be, so that if you're in the D.C. area, you can definitely get out to hear Dr. Lathan.
Sure. So first, people can go to my website and which is rubylathon.com, RubyLathon.com, to always find out what upcoming events are happening, and can get in touch with me there as well. A couple of events on March 25th, which is a Saturday at 1 o'clock, we'll be doing a healthy lifestyles workshop on just ways to improve your simple ways to improve your health. We're talking a little bit about food traps and food additives to avoid, as well as vegan nutrition. So that's a free workshop at 1 o'clock on March 25th, and you can go to my website to get more information about that, where to register. It is free, but you do need to register. And then there is our big Holistic Health Summit coming up on April 29th in Baltimore. So it is the Reengineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit, and we're really excited about that, have an incredible lineup of folks. So really hoping to get the word out about that and have a lot of people attending, because it's going to be a really powerful full-day event with some incredible speakers as well as myself. So those are the two immediate things, and there might be a few things in between, but folks can go to the website, rubylathon.com, that's LATHON.com, and find more information there.
You know, Dr. Lathan, I just want to thank you for all of the work that you do. I mean, you're going around, you're doing workshops, you're spreading this information, and I want to encourage everybody to give Dr. Lathan a call. Connect with her. If you have an opportunity to get out to see her, make it a point to go out of your way to go see Dr. Lathan. I guarantee you, she'll be definitely worth the time, the energy. You're going to get so much out of connecting with her, because, again, she's walking this walk and she's sharing this information. And it's not just, we gave her testimony at the top of the hour. She gave her testimony talking about how she cured herself of thyroid cancer. But it doesn't matter what the condition is. As Dr. Lathan is known to say, once you cure the body, you've cured the body. So let's say, for example, you have multiple things going on. Let's say you've got high blood pressure, diabetes, and, you know, tuberculosis, God forbid. If you cure one of those things using a holistic approach to wellness, you're going to cure all of those things in your body. Would that be correct, doctor?
Absolutely. They usually come together and leave together. So that's the good thing. And this is just one step that actually is on the road to help healing any of those things, because it improves overall health as well as the oral health.
You know, it's just interesting. Just there's so many different, like you talked about earlier, how the body is separated by many people. They say if you got, you know, you got cancer, you got diabetes, you got high blood pressure, you got this, you know, but it's one system, and we can take control of our life. And in your bio, you talk about that, how you teach people how they can actually regain control of their life. Could you talk about that in the remaining moments, Doctor? Our health and the state of our health is in our hands. You know, we give too much power over to other things, you know, like hereditary or the devil, you know, put this on me or whatever. Could you talk about the fact that our health is in our hands and that we are more powerful than we think, and that we, if we acknowledge the fact that in my lifestyle contributed to whatever it is that I may have, then I can actually reverse this, like to do what it takes to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole idea around, you know, really improving your health, is that it really is in your hand. I mean, that's in your hands. That's what really alternative medicine teaches, in my opinion, is that, you know, and we call it alternative, but I'll call it natural medicine, teaches is that our healing is within ourselves. It really is. We don't have to you know, rely on anyone else to heal our bodies. We have the power, the intelligence, and the ability to do it. And so if you're hearing this, that means you are hearing it for a reason. And if that just requires you to do extra research, then you should do that. That's the thing. It's like we've just sometimes gotten very relaxed and comfortable with the society where we go and everyone tells us what to do. The doctor gives us the pills to take without us having any information about how it's really going to affect the body, without knowing anything about it. We're just willing to take, put our hand out, give our money, and just poison our bodies without any information about that, because it's easy. It's easy. And so, you know, health isn't always easy, but it's better when you take charge and understand what's happening to your own body. And so we really have to take the time to do the research and be in charge. And once you are, you'll feel more free. You'll feel so much more independent that you're not dependent upon some doctor to diagnose you and tell you what to do and how much and when you can heal yourself with what you're putting on your plate. Every day you get to make that decision, and you get to heal, and you get to decide if you're going to be sick or not. And so once you realize that that is the case, and it's not, most times it's not genetics, and it's not this, and it's not that, and it's, you know, not your ability to afford organic food, you know, because I hear so many excuses about why I can't do X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, really? I'm not hearing that, because you can do the best you can do until you can do better. So I'm like, okay, you can't do organics, but can you not eat garbage? Can you not eat certain types of food? Can you not eat? And I don't like to get preachy, but sometimes it's like exasperating to talk to people who have the wrong attitude about being in charge and taking responsibility for their health. And that's really the goal of what I'm trying to get at, is that our health is our responsibility. We're in charge of it, and we need to get away from the system that we have been fed, that you go here to get well once you're sick, and you find healing in our food. Food is our medicine. Medicine is our food. And we can change this paradigm, and we all won't all be so afraid of our health care being taken away, because we are our own health care. And so that's really the message, that the power is in your hands, and you need to believe that and understand that it's your responsibility to find out how to care for your own body.
Wow. I heard that, and I know that you all heard it too. See, I told you, didn't I tell you at the top of the hour, I said she has a passion for this. And again, I guess you cured yourself of cancer, you would have the same passion as well. And she's here to tell you that you can do it. You can do it. And there's so much information out here. There's so much, you know, I always tell people that it's very nice if you could surround yourself, if you have a support system, or if your circle is full of like-minded people that are, you know, headed down the vegan, vegetarian path as well. But if they're not in your immediate circle, there are groups out here. There are groups online. I mean, you can join up, link up with people. You can go see Dr. Lathan at her workshops. You know, when you can go over to her website, find out where she's going to be. You can call her. I mean, you can connect with other people that are out here too. But that's going to be important, that you align yourself with other people that are going to encourage you. If the people in your circle, and I'm not trying to get preachy either, but if the people in your circle are meat eaters and, you know, they're eating dairy and this and that and the other, if you're running with them, if you're going out to eat with them, they're not going to encourage you to not eat meat or not eat dairy, because if they don't see anything wrong with it, they'll think that there's something wrong with you before they think that there's something wrong with what they're eating. Doc, in our closing moments, I promise I'm going to let you go. Could you just talk about the importance of just having that circle or creating that circle of people that, because if you're trying to change your life, you know, you need support. Could you talk about that? And then I promise I'll let you go.
Absolutely. That is important. We tend to do what our friends and family do. It's hard to break out of the group think. And so knowing that we're prone to that doing what each other does, it's best to surround yourself with people who are doing the right things, who are trying to live healthy, because, you know, it can be challenging when we have so many unhealthy choices being touted as healthy and just everywhere, that you need to insulate yourself a little bit to give yourself the edge until you're strong enough to be the leader of that pack. So it's absolutely necessary to have support, to stay on the path, to be around some like-minded people. You know, we don't surround ourselves with only people who think like us, but we do need to have a support group of people who do and who maybe know more than you, who can help you along the way. That's when the keys to staying on track and being successful with any type of major changes, especially dietary changes, which are so integral to our social life.
Dr. Lathan, I just want to, again, thank you so much, and I encourage everybody to share this link with other people, because this, as you know, the show was titled The Amazing Benefits of Oil Pulling, but we talked about so much more. You know, these shows we do with Dr. Lathan, we might have a particular topic, but we talk about so much. So for those people who are out there, share the link with other people, because if you're listening, you tuned in, it's either for you or it's for somebody that you know. So I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. You could be doing something else, as I always say, and I don't take you for granted at all. You're not here by accident. You know, this show is about holistic health. That's all we're talking about on this show today is holistic health, and you tuned in, so this is what you wanted. I'm so glad that we could give you what you came for. Dr. Lathan, again, as always, you're an awesome presenter. You really break it down, and your passion, it can be felt through the airwaves. And I thank you and continue to wish you the best in all that you do. May the Creator open more doors for you to get your message out. And if I can help in any way at the end, I'll be more than happy to do that. Again, everybody, Dr. Lathan, go to her website, www.drrubylathan.com. Did I say that right, Doc?
It's just rubylathan.com.
.com. And find out where she's going to be, and that way you can the Veggie Chest. If you're just new to this, you can find out recipes and, you know, how you can prepare vegan food and blend and use the juice, starting on the juice path. And let's just check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and punch in the Veggie Chest, and you'll get to watch Dr. Lathan show you how to prepare meals that'll keep you coming back for more, as she says. Dr. Lathan, I just want to say thank you. I got an announcement to make, but if you can't hold on any longer, I'll let you go. For everybody that's tuning in, on Saturday, March the 18th at 5 p.m., Dr. Oruwahehi Metara in Comet is going to be in Chicago. He's going to be talking about his brand new book based on his thesis for his doctorate. It's the research of Dr. Hehi Metara in Comet. It's called, titled, The Divine Kingship of Asante. I'm in the process of reading that. It is absolutely fabulous. Awesome, awesome information. Everybody to get that. He's going to be again in Chicago Saturday, March the 18th at 5 p.m. at the Osara Set Society Chicago. That's at 2108 East 71st Street. That's on the second floor in Chicago. And for more information, the telephone number there is 773-789-9074. Again, for more information, that's 773-789-9074. Dr. Comet is going to be discussing his brand new book, The Divine. Until the next time, everybody, I want to say thank you again for tuning in. Dr. Lathan, my sister, awesome, awesome, awesome. That's all I can say. Thank you again for being my guest. I can't wait until our next.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. Peace and blessings. Everybody, that's Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, website is www.rubylathan.com. Go there. Check it out. I guarantee you, you're going to be impressed. This was a fabulous interview on oil pulling. I learned so much. Now, she's throughout the archives, so I want you to go to the archives, just scroll down, and wherever you see Dr. Lathan, listen to that show. I mean, we've talked about colon cancer. We've talked about prostate cancer. We've talked about diabetes. We've talked about heart trouble. We've talked about erectile dysfunction. We've talked about overcoming obesity. We've talked about overcoming childhood obesity. I mean, you just name it. We've talked about it. And I know that you know somebody that has one of these conditions, okay? So she's a regular on the show. So she comes on once a month. And so, again, I'll get long with it, and I'll start preaching again. So thank you so much. And I certainly appreciate you. Again, as I always say, I don't take you for granted. You could be doing something else, okay? This could be the answer to your prayers. Hey, everybody, you can do this. You can do this. I know that we come on and we talk about changing your diet to a livid. We talk about how I bring on people that have cured themselves of cancer, that have cured other people of cancer and other conditions. You can do it. It's just going to require change. That's all. And you can change. And you're never too old to change. We just did a show on that. You're never too old to change. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. You need somebody to tell you you can do it. Sometimes we don't have that person in our life to tell them they can do it. So I'm here to tell you. You can do it. Now, the question is, will you? My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more.